Our title of the short thoughts for today, I title it Strive. And we'll talk about the salvation and what sets us apart. I think it's the ransom for all. It's not that that Jesus died for only those who open up either certain gatherings or organizations, or you have to be named by certain, but as it is written, that the ransom is for all and the resurrection will be for all. And that's a precious truth we carry, and we are hoping for that. And we also know that for those who love God and want to serve Him, there is a time right now for the salvation and following the Lord and following Jesus. And talking about that, the salvation, let's read what we have written in the Luke passage from 13th chapter and 22 to 24 verse. Because these are words which were spoken to our Lord, and He gave an answer about what should we do to be saved. And He, Jesus, went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said unto Him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. In verse 23, we read the question Jesus was asked to give the answer. Are there few to be saved? We are thinking about our future and our life, especially those who are following Jesus' steps. And often the question comes to our mind, are we on the right way? Do we need any corrections? Are we doing all things possible to enter in? And Jesus, in His great wisdom, He gave a very interesting answer. He did not say that multitudes maybe be saved, because in this case maybe they will not try hard enough and correct our hard characters. And He didn't say that only very, very few. Maybe that would be the big discourage for everyone, and maybe they will come to a conclusion that I'm not worthy and I will not be able to do so. But He answers, strive. In other words, do your best you can. And He answered that it depends on us, and we have a freedom to choose and to decide. Salvation is for all, and He redeemed us from the sin. However, He's presenting it to us, and it's up to us if you would like to lay down our lives and if you would like to follow Him. The similar answer was to the young man in Matthew 19 chapter and 16 verse. And behold, one came unto said unto Him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Another interpretation of that would be strive. You have to do your best. But honestly, we have to do everything we can deep in our hearts, deep down, that we know that we do whatever we can to enter, to whatever we can to fulfill His law and fulfill His steps and follow Him. He redeemed all of us from death, but right now there is a special opportunity for that to follow him and to get that special reward. Jesus invites you, invites us to follow him. And Jesus said there are right now only two ways out there. It's narrow way, which leads us to life, and broad way, which leads to death. In Matthew 7, chapter 13 to 14 verse, we read, "Enter ye in at straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." We have to strive, we have to look hard to find it, and we have to do our best and strive our best to follow this way and to find it. Nobody was born on the narrow way. Even if you are born and raised in consecrated families like some of us, like I was, then we are not automatically drawn into that. We have to enter that way personally, and it has to be our personal thing. It must be our own understanding, must be our own faith, our own dedication, our own consecration, and our own self-sacrifice. And to be on this narrow way, then we must strive to finish the run and the next steps. It's not because my father did that, my mom did that, my grandfather maybe, he was also following that way, so I have to keep the family tradition. This is not the right way. We have to make the truth our own, and faith our own, in order to succeed. We have to strive to find it. In Matthew 7:7, we read, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." We heard the example which was presented to us from this convention, the picture of our Lord, like what he said. I'm coming and I'm knocking to the door. If you open it, I will come in and I will sup with you. And I would like to emphasize one thing on that beautiful picture. The Lord will not open the door. He will knock. He will put the message out there. He will knock to our heart, but he cannot open that door. The door handle is inside of our heart. We have to open it. He will not open. If we will not answer, then he will pass by. That's why we have to have our ears open, our eyes open, and hearts ready to open. If we open, he will come in. And he is giving us the choice. If we would like to invite him to our hearts, to our lives, and lead us together on that narrow way. In John 14, chapter and 6th verse, let's read about what's the way and how we find it. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, I the truth, and the life. No man comes up to Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." We know our Father through his Son. He was reflecting him, his doing, his answers, his teachings. Jesus was walking and doing things. This is the way towards the kingdom. And very well-known scripture we'd like to read from Hebrews 11, chapter and 6th verse. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder to them that diligently seek him. The emphasis here I would like to put in the scripture, diligently seek him. It's not just, by the way, I heard this, oh, it come to my mind or come to my attention. It's seeking something. If we seek something in our lives, we have our attention. It's not only rewarder that to them that only seek him. Yes, well, I would like to find the Lord. I would like to find his way. There is the word here, diligently. We have to do our best. We have to strive to seek him. If we are seeking, we will find the way to the kingdom of life, to heavenly calling. Jesus said is only for those two ways, narrow life and wide to death. That's the God's plan, which we are familiar with, and many of us were studying it. Sometimes we go in such a details that we study the Lord's, like the divine plan for 10 years or so, because we really want to diligently find those details. And we know those two ways. And we have to strive to be on that way, as we have a scripture from Apostle Paul to 2 Timothy 4 chapter 7 verse, what he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. He didn't say I was walking very comfortable on the way and now I have finished it and I kept my faith. He said, I fought a good fight. We have to fight for the faith. And sometimes it's a big fight with the enemy on this world and things which are going around. We have an examples from early times where the fight was almost physical. The Christians had to hide somewhere and we have examples of our brethren who were hiding the literature, not to vanish or anything. But right now we also have lost the fight with the world, how it's set up right now. We have to fight that good faith, the good fight, and make sure that we keep the faith. And we have to strive to be on this way. Once we found this way, we also have to strive to be there, to continue walking on that way. And there is a date until when we have to strive and until when we have to make sure that we are keeping good faith and good fight. And this is a date which none of us will disagree on. Be faithful until death. And we all agree that that's the sure date where we have to be faithful. And sometimes we have to remember about it once the time's getting rough and difficult to keep our faith, to make sure that at the end we can say the same thing as Apostle Paul said. And interestingly enough, on all those examples of the narrow way, once we are on that way, this is why we are walking. We are not standing or sitting on that way. This is an action. God gives us opportunity and different talents to do his work. And we should do in our best we can. And walk and do that with joy. Remember the parable of talents. In that parable of talents, there was no one left without any. And everybody got reward except the one who just buried it, didn't do anything about it. That was not right example. Maybe some of you are familiar with a little story about man being a Christian, and he stopped coming to the gatherings and meetings. And the pastor asked him, why you are not coming anymore? And he visited him and asked him that. And the man said, well, I don't do anything wrong. I don't do anything, any bad things to anybody. I don't do wrong things. I'm doing right things. And he said to this man, yes, but look at the post on your fence. It's standing there. It's not doing harm to anybody either. But as a matter of fact, that post on the fence is actually more useful because of that post, the whole fence is standing. And if you don't do anything, then your work is not recognized. So we should know that we should be doing things on the way. I like some illustrations, but if I'll tell you, how would you illustrate Adam and Eve in the paradise? Well, the picture to us comes, maybe the tree, right, of good and evil, and there is an Adam and Eve standing there, right? But I think that they had plenty of work in there. They were not standing in the paradise. They had lots of work in there. They had to, you know, take care of it. They had to name the animals. They were taking care of them and so on. So likewise, we have to make sure that we strive to do our best, not to stand still. And again, this is nothing new, not a new concept, because there's so many things which are written to our edification and our lessons. And let's read it in James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it's a sin. So the sin, according to the scripture, is not only not doing wrong things, but if we can do good things and we don't do them, this is a sin, because we are capable of doing those. And again, this is about doing things. This is about what can I do. In Galatians 6th chapter and 4 verse, we will read, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. This is very interesting scripture. If we think about it, it's not only encouragement to do the work, but it's encouragement, do your own work and rejoice in him alone, in himself alone. If I have an idea, if I know how to do things, I should do it. I should rather avoid that, oh, I have a good idea, and you, brother, have to do it. And I feel very well because I actually gave an idea, but I didn't do it. And we should boast in the things which we do ourselves, what we do. We should not see that I have an idea and you, brother, do it, and this is how you should do it because that's the best way, and then not do any actions and put the all work and the burden to others. In Galatians 6th and 10th chapter, we read, as we have therefore opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's do those things. Not let's put an idea. Not let's talk about it. Let's do good to all men, and especially to those household of faith. We should strive even if you are weakening. There are times where times are getting rough and tough, and we should do everything, especially then once we are weakening. And God gives out work to be done for our good, because working gives us strength and building us together spiritually, and it's good for our character to develop. There are times where we are getting weak. We are then getting really down by the daily stuff we have at work, by other struggles, and we are going away from reading every day, for studying, from listening, no time to go to the meeting. Maybe going to conventions is becoming more difficult and we need some rest. We are getting away from the fellowship with brethren. And maybe the cause is because we are losing the need. Maybe the cause is that our appetite is getting down. Maybe we are no longer hungry. And we know that if we are not hungry, it's very hard to feed if somebody is not hungry. And we are talking, as an example, but we are talking about the hunger of the spiritual world and the hunger to be with brethren, be with the Lord. And hunger to strive to fulfill His will. And this is like running up to the finish. It's close, but we are sometimes saying, oh, this is so exhausting. But we should focus on the reward, which is life. And on that light, on the top of the mountain, and follow our Lord. In the Revelations 3rd chapter, 14 to 16 verse, we read, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of the world of God. I know thy works, that are neither cold nor hot. Would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I knew that scripture, but once I tasted lukewarm water, it's really not pleasant. If in your mouth it's really unpleasant, you don't know what is it really. Because you either want to have something cold to cool you off, or you want something hot to warm you up. Being not hot or cool, it's a wrong state. Our heart, tolerating everything and accepting, even if it's wrong, even if it's sin or evil, if it's good or bad, it's okay. And what's not okay, if you are not okay with that state, if you point to the evil, if you point what is good, we may get nowadays into the trouble not to be tolerant, and so on. We are striving once we are weakening. We should strive also once we are falling. Even once we are weak, but we are still here. We always have something what we can do for the Lord, and we can get up as a righteous man. How many falling? 7 times. It was, for me, I was always focusing on that. Righteous men, well, I'm not that righteous, right? But righteous men falling, if we think about it, yes. But he get up again. Like David did, under God's heart. He falls so hard, and he get up, he pointed, yes, I'm a sinner, Lord, forgive me. And then he was forgiven, and he was named man after God's heart. Let's read 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Those words are very difficult to explain. Because usually we see that strong people have to do this and that. And then we see them as the strong ones. But here Apostle Paul is saying, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So where does strength come from? It comes from the Lord, because we are leaving a room. We are leaving our own me, our own I, and we are leaving it up to the Lord. And then He is strengthening us and fulfilling His law and His will. And in Philippians 4 chapter and 13 verse, we read, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In Jesus, in Christ, and with His help. When we know Jesus, when we know Him, we know the way, how to walk on His will this way. We know Lord, we know the rules, we know how to run to win. And walking on that way should be done lawfully and carefully, using the armor we received. Interesting thing about the armor, out of the old armor we have, it's just one thing which we can fight. It's a sword. Everything else on our armor is to guard us. And we have to use the sword very carefully, because if we don't know how to use it, we may hurt our fellow soldiers which are on the same way with us. And we have to use this very powerful sword tool very carefully. I would like to bring up one more story. I know we all like stories. And sometimes, once I'm preparing the discussion, what kind of story I should bring up? But once I was thinking, I said, why should I look for stories from my life, from the history, where we have a beautiful story in the Bible? So I pick one. And this is a story which I believe all of you know, and I'm sure you know, and I'm sure even very young ones around us know the very well. It's a story of sending Moses to free the nation. And the story is written in Exodus 4 chapter 1-4, when Moses was talking to God in the burning bush. I would like you to think a little bit like a Moses now. You are the Moses. You are standing there by yourself with that staff. You took off your sandals, and here it is. You have to go and free the nation from Egyptians. And the Lord says, you will go to Pharaoh. Let's read it. Exodus 1-4. 4 chapter 1-4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto them, and I would like you to remember those words. What is that in thy hand? What's in your hand? It's a staff. It's a rod. And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put the hand and caught it, and it became the rod in his hand. What is in your hand? And this question, Lord is putting to us as well. Brethren, what is in your hand? We are pilgrims, we are strangers. It's a different subject which we could decide, but if you would like ask me what one thing I would like you to remember from our talk today, it's just this. What is in your hand? Everybody has a staff. Everybody has a rod here. And it might be different rod for me, different from Brother Comey, different from Brother here and there, sister and everybody. And don't think you are without the rod. And this is the rod which Moses took with him to Egypt. He pulled out the nation, obviously with God's power. He took the rod, ocean opened up. Think about what rod you have. What is in your hand? It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be ability to say beautiful discourse. It doesn't have to be ability to play. It doesn't have to be ability to be technical. It might be a scripture, you said. Or maybe even the prayer. That's your magic rod. That something is in your hand and we have to use it. Everybody has something in the hand. And Lord answered to Moses in later verses 10 to 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And we know the story later on what happened. Lord gave him every tool, everything to need to fulfill his work. And we have that in our hands. The danger to fall is also coming from us, as we may think that we did everything in our life, but we don't know that, as it's written in Revelation 3rd chapter 17 verse, because thou says I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We have to, if any time in our lives it comes to our mind, yes, I achieved something, I think we should turn our eyes to Revelation and the second part of Laodicea. Because if we say Laodicea, I would always say, oh, it's about lukewarm. But it's more than that. It's about self-content. Stop striving. It's about that. You never should stop striving. And every time we fall, then we can apply the advice which is in verse 18 of the same chapter of Revelation. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that may be rich, and white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye oil, that thou may see. So, we always can get up like the righteous man. Turn to the Lord, apologize, and get back to the service for him. And in the verse 21, third chapter 21, we know what the reward is. To him that overcome those times, will I grant to sit with me in thy throne, even as I also overcame and am set with my Father in his throne. This is the reward. And we have to strive to be there. As a closing, I would like to quote Revelation 21 chapter 4 and 5 verse. And these words are, I think, favorite words for all of us who are longing for a kingdom. And we strive to do whatever we can to do it, to fulfill His law, to fulfill His need of serving Him. Let's read it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. May our hearts will always strive to fulfill the Lord's will and be ready to proceed on the way Jesus showed us and service for Him. Strive not to stop on this way. Be like Jesus and always have our eyes set on the Lord, our goal, walking and doing things for Him, to enter the kingdom and to help others to become perfect and bring all to harmony with God. May the Lord bless you.